Hello, here is Explode Your Coaching Business podcast brought to you by gtex.org.uk. I'm your host, the one and the only Simone Vincenzi, and this is the podcast for coaches, speakers and trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Now, if you're a coach, a speaker, a trainer, and you're doing events, you know that selling from the stage is one of the most difficult things that you can do, but the most rewarding. So what we have created to make it easy for you is the Ultimate Sales Checklist. It's a simple PDF that you can download at www.gtex.org.uk/start that will help you knowing what to do step by step in order to convert up to 50% of the audience without being a douchebag. So you go there right now. Now today we have the pleasure of introducing the one and the only Steve Miller. Now Steve has been featured on BBC, ITV, Hello, This Morning, Sky Living, Daily Express, Daily Telegraph, Sunday Times, Daily Record, The Sun, Daily Mirror, as well as a wide range of highly street consumer magazines such as GQ, Zest, Closer, Cosmopolitan, and Grazia. Now, he's not only always on media, but also he's great at getting people to monetize their gifts. So we talked about how to approach media, why a beige personality will kill your business, the reality of the coaching industry, and how to monetize your talents online, and much, much more. Steve has been a pleasure to interview, and I'm sure that you will love him too. Now, make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you haven't subscribed it yet. And if you have any question, you can talk to me and send me an email at simone@gtex.org.uk. They go straight into my inbox and I will reply to you personally. Without further ado, welcome to episode 31 of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. Enjoy and see you later. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Explode Your Coaching Business Show. And today we are here with the one and the only Steve Miller. How's Steve? How are you doing?
It is great to be here. And listen, thanks very much for having me on. And I get these kind of requests so often, and I saw your little face pop up, and I thought, well, he looks quite handsome, so it's absolutely worth talking to you. So, yes, I'm very well. I'm sat in my room with a glass of water, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. I'm sure it'll be very interesting.
And I'm looking forward too. And probably that picture that popped up, that wasn't my face. That was me with a picture with Les Brown. So probably the pretty face was the one of Les Brown. Mine is the ugly one on the side. But moving on this, what I want to ask you is, you had an incredible, oh my God, you had an incredible career. You wrote books, media, television, TV show, businesses. How the heck did you do that? Where did you start, Steve?
It makes me feel like a right diva, you introducing me like that, but it's very, very nice of you too. Well, I have a very down-to-earth background, and I think the reason I start by saying that is I owe a lot to it. I lived in a council house. I was brought up in a council house. My mum and dad still live in their council house. They did buy it eventually. I had a very, very working class background. And throughout my childhood, I had a great upbringing. And my mum always used to say to me, stop faffing about and get out there and do it. And my dad did the same. So my mum, you know, my mum was a cleaner. My dad worked in a factory.
Right.
We didn't have much money. Worked hard. They brought me up to value everything. But
Did you ever feel there was something was missing in there? Because you know, sometimes I can see I work in a lot of schools, and there are a lot of children and young people that compare themselves with other people that have more. Did you ever feel in your upbringing that there is something missing here?
No, I mean, there was moments where I used to think, you know, I'd have a friend and they lived in a posher type house or something. And it was, I do admit it was sometimes a little embarrassing because I'd bring them back to where I lived and whatever. But I have to say that, you know, because the home life was so secure and it was happy, that actually I didn't feel that I missed out on anything, really. I mean, yes, there were times when, you know, some of my friends could at school could have, they had a lot more than I did, you know. I always remember at Christmas, actually, never forget this, okay, when I asked for a push bike, and I had the second-hand bike, whereas my friends had a brand new one. But you know what? I wasn't a spoiled brat.
Right. So you were not like bitching. It's like, why didn't you get me the new bike?
Well, you know, I mean, inside myself, I'd have loved a new one. But at the end of the day, I didn't. And, you know, and all of those experiences that I talk about when I was younger, they've made me the person I am now. I don't take any bullshit. I'm very straight talking. I think on the speaking circuit in particular,
yes,
and in the coaching world and the hypnotherapy world, which I belong to, there is a lot of bullshit and people need to get through that. I think that a lot of training schools out there, for example, paint the dream of the superb career that you're going to have in the world of speaking and coaching.
Yep.
Only find that when you've completed your studies, you don't seem to, you know, people don't find the clients.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh yeah, you're going to have this great career, this amazing career, and then after you got this diploma in coaching, hypnotherapy, NLP, then you're going to really visualize really hard and clients will fall on your lap. Is that what happens, Steve?
Oh, it completely happens. The one thing I would say to people listening to this right now is you might as well pack up now if you are beige. Because I tell you now, if you are beige, you will never, ever make it. And I've got the balls to tell you that. And that's not me being nasty. It's actually me being kind to people.
Thank you for your kindness.
What I say to them is, you know, do not spend any more money on courses necessarily if you're going to waste money knowing that at the moment your persona and personality is beige. You're just not going to make it.
So tell me a bit more about that, because I think that I completely agree with you. When you are, there are a lot of bullshit that they say, okay, you got this diploma and people are going to fall on your lap. And you said that personality is really what drives. I mean, you had a lot of media experience. And when we were talking before, you said, I'm straight talking. I'm going to tell you things as they are. So how can people create that personality or create that persona that can become attractive, that can become opinionated, even if they are not? Is that a cure, a solution, or they're just doomed?
No, I think people live in a bubble of protection of themselves. Right. And what I mean by that is, once you give yourself permission to be yourself and to have opinion and to sometimes have strong conviction of opinion without worrying about being hated, disliked for it, it's at that point you step out of that bubble. But, you know, when I look around and I look on social media, all the different types of coaches, they are all saying the same old fucking stuff. And that is the problem. Everything is the same. Nothing is new. You know, don't get me wrong. There are some excellent people out there. There's some really sharp people out there that are different, that have got conviction, that have got some ballsiness about them, and they have substance. Their content is of substance.
Well, it looks like my description. Thank you very much. Keep going.
Well, of course it is. And, you know, and it's those people that make it big. It's those people that the public want to work with. You know, it's those people that people are drawn to. And, you know, and it's not for everybody, I know that. But sometimes if you've done all your qualifications and to start saying you're a coach, then yes, that's all very well. But you've got to have some substance. You've got to have some attitude. You've got to have great branding.
Yeah.
You've got to have maybe a signature image, as I call it. And you've got to be able to give content that's meaningful, that's of substance, and above all, you've got to have social proof. And stop, you know, what I say to coaches, stop talking about the theory all the time. You know, show me examples of where you've worked with people and mm-hmm. where you've got real people, real results. You know, cut the bull and show me the evidence.
Show what it goes. And actually, before I was looking at your website, the Weight Loss Master website that you have. And as soon as you go on the website, there are results there. There is the before and after of the amazing results that you had with your clients. Now, keep talking about the personality and speaking your mind and talking about what you really believe in and becoming opinionated. Was there ever a time where you said to yourself, Steve, why didn't you shut up in that moment? Like, what was the worst moment where you express your opinion? And you know, sometimes things go like spiraling down and you cannot control them anymore. Have you ever had one of these moments?
Well, I have done, I'm sure I have, and I've had lots of them over the years. I remember doing a breakfast television interview with a psychologist, and I remember doing, fortunately being a gay guy, there was no threat, but I remember sitting next to her and me putting my hand on her knee. She was very attractive. Very attractive. And I know I came over a little bit patronising. And of course, you know, I kind of wrapped my knuckles for that. So there's been that. In my personal life, there's been lots of moments where I've been embarrassed, but we can't talk about those, darling. Lots of them. But the thing is, what you do, of course, in your career, you make mistakes and you have embarrassing moments. But those embarrassing moments can make you famous, and that's what people need to realize as well. I'm trying to rack my brain of thinking of other things that have happened. Career-wise, but if I can think of something, I'll come back.
You come back to that later, because you said, okay, there are moments that make you famous. What do you think that made you famous?
Oh, well, you're going to love this one, because I don't think you know this.
Go for
it. Well, about 12 years ago, I did.
So when you were 15?
Oh, of course. I've had about 6 facelifts. But no, This is a great example for people listening to this. About 12 years ago, I decided that I wanted to drive the traction within my business. I was kind of setting out. And I thought to myself, right, I've got to be different. Beige does not work. Beige goes bust. So what I did, and this is what I did, rather than calling myself a life coach, I called myself the life bitch. And I tell you what happened, and everybody out there, you can't have it because I trademarked it.
Damn it! I was actually thinking about. I was like, okay, now I'm taking it.
I became the life bitch.
The speaking bitch or something like that.
Yeah, the life bitch. And what happened was, I instantly, it gained traction. I mean, I was getting results anyway for clients in the world of weight loss at that time.
Yeah.
But because the media was sort of, my God, the life bitch, what happened was I suddenly got a lot of press attention and suddenly my career took off, you know, and within a few months I got a book deal. I got my first book, my publishing house book deal. I was given quite a large amount of money.
What book was that for? What was the
book? My first publishing house book was, it's called Get Off Your Ass and Lose Weight.
Yep.
And Get Off Your Ass and Lose Weight by the life bitch Steve Miller. Now,
bestseller, just for the title.
Yes. And this is an example of where, when I talk about, you know, don't be beige, I'm not suddenly saying, oh, you've all got to be hard and nasty and ruthless or anything like that. I'm saying be different. Be different with your brand name. Be different and stop calling yourself a coaching business, for example. You know, there's hundreds of them. The market is saturated.
Yes.
You know, think of something else. You know, what I say to people setting out is, you know, think of the sort of condition that you treat or support people with. So if you treat people for confidence,
yes,
maybe you are, off the top of my head, maybe you are the confidence captain or something like that. You know, I'm not saying that's the right one.
You come up with a
brand name that is aligned to the condition that you treat or the service you give, rather than calling yourself an airy fairy bloody life coach,
which everyone is a life coach. I mean, it's interesting. I used to go to a lot of networking events when I was starting my business, and everyone was a life coach. Like, I would say, "What are you doing? I'm a life coach. What are you doing? I'm a life coach. What are you doing? I'm a life coach. What are you doing? I'm a life coach." Like, the 17 life coach I met, I was like, "Oh, damn! Like, this is
well."
Crazy.
And then the other thing, and when you meet some of these life coaches, I mean, many of them could not inspire the thirsty to drink water. They really couldn't. I mean, there are people that I meet that call themselves a life coach, and I think, my goodness, you look like you could ring them out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You need a help. And you know what? This is really interesting, because I think that sometimes, in particular in this industry, there are a lot of it attracts a lot of people that want to give. That they by nature they are helpers, and they want to give to other people and they want to give back, but also they actually don't know how to take care of themselves. So have you ever met someone were you ever been in that situation where you were saying, I actually need to change the stuff on myself before teaching it to other people? Or were you always this way, straightforward, getting things done, high achiever? Like, how was your journey there?
No, it's a very good question, and you raise a very salient point with myself, because in the early days in particular, I've always been what I am, which is direct and to the point and straight talking. I have a heart. I'm very compassionate as well, but I am to the point. But in the early days, I found it difficult to give myself permission to be me.
Right.
I thought I had to be like everybody else. And I thought that, you know, I would not have a successful coaching business and a hypnotherapy business if I was the true person that I am now. And I would say that I had to sit back and mentally give myself permission to be me, to recognize that we are all fallible, that I will make mistakes along the way, and that's okay, that's fine. And something just clicked in my head. Something just said to me, actually, Steve, you can be you. If you're unpopular with many people, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. Because you know what? And I thought back then that I recognized that for every person that didn't like my style, yeah, and didn't like what I stood for, there would be at least another person that loved what I stood for. And I have to say, it's very interesting, actually, because
yeah,
it makes you, it's like, I mean, you take Donald Trump. I mean, I was absolutely shocked that he won the election.
Oh my God, let's not go into that.
We won't go into the politics of it, and of course not. But
yeah,
the illustrative point here,
yeah,
is that, you know, he stuck to who he was, although he's softening now. And for every hater, he had a fan.
Yes. That's so true, and I think I can picture there when you had this aha moment with you looking at the sky and this beam of light that was coming down to you, and you said, "I can be myself now." It's like I can picture that. Now, you have been also, after your book deals, then you also had you were a TV host of your own program, which was Fat Families, right? And
yes,
with Fat Families, now it can be seen in more than like in 12 countries. Has been a huge success, and also that led to for you going complete like media interviews, TV channels, newspapers. Yeah. And a big question that all my clients ask me, or people that I had when I started, is, okay, I'm starting out. How do I get on bloody media? How do I get my message out to more people? So I think we tapped already into the brand. The branding needs to be strong. So let's say I've already worked on my brand and I've awakened my inner bitch inside me. And then what else could I do?
Well, it's about finding something. If you want to gain exposure via the media, and if you do it and you conquer it, you will always be busy. But you have to offer something that is different. And that does not mean, by the way, and I want people to realise that, that doesn't mean you have to be Mr. Nasty,
right,
or you have to be, you have to try and be Steve Miller, because you don't. You can. So, for example, let me give you an example. At the other extreme, if someone listening to this is a coach who believes that when you walk down the road, you do a certain routine with people on the street to make them suddenly increase their self-esteem level. So, for example, they walk down the street and do some sort of routine for somebody, and it's and then it finishes with hugging them or giving them a kiss or something. And that person is gaining a lot of social proof of people saying, you know, my goodness, my life was pretty awful, but now I had this routine done to me, which was very odd, but it was so loving and all of that sort of thing. And you've got many people championing that, and it's unusual. Then a journalist will be interested. What the media aren't really interested in is stuff that is just, I mean, the question is this. What you have to ask yourself is if you've got a story, it's kind of, so what? And the question, ask yourself the question, so what? So if the answer to that question is really meaty, so what? I'm going to learn this. This is new. It's never been done before. It's fresh. People are raving about it. It's unusual. It's jaw-dropping. Then you're likely to get the media hooked. But if you're talking about general everyday life coaching, I'm afraid you're going to find it difficult. You've got to have newsworthy stuff that's real, that's rich in content, and you have to have this isn't a word, but I'm going to use it, an unusuality.
Now, talking about unusuality, is there a way, have you ever found a way that can take the usual and turn it into unusual? I give you an example. So, for example, what something that really launched me and got media attention was my TEDx, which was entitled "Sleeping with Your Clients." So, the TEDx was "Sleeping with Your Clients." Like, what is this guy really sleeping with your clients? And immediately, you see me on stage playing a didgeridoo. It's like, okay, someone is playing a didgeridoo and is sleeping with their clients. What the heck is going on here? And I found a way, for example, in there to, I wanted to talk about marketing and sale and a way for businesses to interact better with their customers. So that was the main message. So I put my own twist. Do you have a method or a tip or advice, piece of advice that you can give to say, okay, this is the same old content, put your twist, how can you create a wow factor?
Well, you highlight the key point. Creativity is at the heart of success in many ways. There's not one answer, really. It depends on the situation. But when I do business coaching with people, for example, you know, one of the things I'll say is, elevate my status. Help me elevate my status. And I said to someone the other day, for example, they're not going to do it, so I can tell you. I said to them, they're a hypnotherapist, and they're pretty successful, and they want elevate their status and become more of a name out there. And I said, why don't you set up, because it's aligned to what this person does. This person I'm talking about treats clients that have sexual dysfunction. Okay?
Yeah.
They have sexual dysfunction. It's a clinical business. It's very professional, you know?
Yeah.
But I said, why don't you open the very first, because I don't think there is one, the very first naturist hypnotherapy center.
Okay. that would definitely get media. That would definitely get...
Oh, I know it would. Absolutely. Absolutely it would. Because it would be... Because it's and then you see, you go back to my question, so what? What makes this newsworthy? Well, the very first thing that makes it newsworthy, it's never been done.
Yes.
It's new. As far as I know, I might be wrong, but as far as I know, I don't believe that's been done. A naturist, hypnotherapy center or coaching center, you know, to my knowledge, has not been done. And that's, you know, that makes it newsworthy. You're gonna have a lot of people that attend that saying this is fantastic because it's freedom. You know, we all talk about being free with ourselves, though, and naturists do as well. So, and that was my idea. That was my idea. So, you know, we have this very cheesy statement of think outside the box. What you've got to do...
Incredibly cheesy. It's very cheesy.
Yeah, you've got to remember there is no fucking box. That's what you've got to remember, okay?
Thank you.
Amen. The box over. So there ain't no box at all. And, you know, what I would say, as long as it's kind of legal, decent and honest, you're okay. And actually, a naturist centre for coaching and hypnosis or personal development would be legal, decent and honest.
It would. Talking about legal, let's get to know you a bit more now. What is the weirdest legal thing that you've ever done in your life?
Oh, legal thing.
Legal. Let's not go into the legal one. Let's keep it legal.
I'm trying to think.
Actually, have you ever done anything legal in your life?
You mean have I ever done anything illegal?
No, legal. Yes, you've done legal stuff in your life, right?
I live a clean... I mean, I have a very clean life.
Okay,
know.
That's brilliant.
I'm actually very... I'm not prudish at all. Nothing really shocks me. But I have ethics and morals and whatever. But yeah. No, I've not... I live a clean...
What is the weirdest legal thing that you've ever done in your life?
Weirdest thing I've ever done?
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Weirdest thing. You know, I'm beginning to think I'm a little dull. Weirdest thing. You tell me what your weirdest thing is.
I'll set the trend. For me, that's one of the weirdest. Definitely was when I'm Italian, right? So Italians, let's put a cliche, we are passionate, we are cheesy. So I remember I fell in love with this girl that I met in holiday in Spain. And yeah. I was there on holiday and I fell in love. And I actually met her the last 2 days of the holiday. And you know what's one of these kind of love that are like a real, pure, raw passion? Where you cannot do anything else than think about her. So that's the kind of love that I experienced, and I wanted to see her again, but I didn't have any more holidays. So what I did on my day off, I think I spent about £2,000 for one day. I took the flight, I went to Spain, spent a day with her, came back in the evening, and started working in the restaurant I was working there. So that was quite a weird thing that I did. Do you have yours now?
No.
No, okay.
Let's
cross this one. Okay.
These really weird... I mean, I'm sure there's weird things I've done, but to me, they're probably not
okay,
weird.
Okay, let's twist it. I know you had a very... when you were doing Fat Families, what was it something that happened in Fat Families that made you say, oh my God? You know, all the things that you have seen there.
Weirdest thing in Fat Families. Do you know what's really interesting? You asking this question, it's a very good one because it's highlighting that my mind and my brain obviously recognises that most things aren't too weird.
Yeah.
And maybe that's actually why I allow myself to be me. Because I don't have these parameters around me that says, oh, that's a bit weird.
Okay, is really
does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. As we know, as coaches, we all have our filters in our mind, and what's weird for someone is definitely not weird for someone else. So I can completely understand on that.
Yeah, I mean, in making TV, you know, and stuff, I've done all sorts of things, but I've never really found it difficult. I've never found it weird. And I think that's, you know, but that people listening to this, what I would say to them, what does that mean? It's It's about encouraging yourself and nurturing yourself to give yourself this permission to be free with your thought, free with your opinion, free with your attitude. You know, as long as it's legal, decent, and honest, it doesn't matter.
Underlying legal, decent, and honest. Thank you.
Oh, trust me, I live by that. I live by it. Honestly.
Yeah, I was actually in a school this morning, and I was delivering a session on financial awareness for kids, and I asked them the question: if you had to earn a lot of money legally, what would you do? And I underline the word legally because the first thing that they do generally in a school is like, yeah, I'm selling drugs, right? This is I'm going to sell drugs, selling guns. And it's like, oh, okay, you are nine. Okay. It happens in every school. That's weird for me. Anyway, moving on. Now, something that you've done, you wrote a lot. How many books did you write? How many books did you write so far?
I've written five.
Because I was counting them. I almost lost the count when I was looking at all the covers that were on Amazon.
I get asked to write books now, but I decided to call it a day two or three years ago, actually, maybe three now, because I'd had enough, to be honest. I mean, but what I would say to people listening is for your own halo effect and for your own social proof to elevate you and your status as a coach, as a therapist or whatever you do, writing a book can really help you. It really can help you. But what I would say is this: don't expect to sell lots of them.
Right.
Okay. That's what I would say. That's the second thing. But the third, just to reiterate, it's good for the perception you're creating about yourself, and the wonderful thing now, of course, you know, as a coach, is that you can write your own e-guides, for example, and there is a guy, and write your own books. You can self-publish, and what I would say to people is sell them at a very low price if you want to get some volume.
Yes,
in terms of make a bit of money, and there's a guy that I know who's written a book about his life, and I think he's sold about 250,000 of his book now.
That's
so
not bad.
You know, he's making a lot of money. He's doing very well. So congratulations to him. Yeah.
Congratulations to him, yeah. And do you like writing, or was it just one of these things that you have to do in order elevate your status? And the reason why I'm asking this, it is because I wrote three books and I'm actually writing my fourth soon. And for me, it's just a pain. It's one of the things.
No.
That, oh my no. God. Like, do you actually no, like writing?
No, I absolutely love it. Okay. I mean, I left school with absolutely zilch qualifications, and I sort of gained my brain later on. But I love writing.
Did you buy it somewhere, or
did you? I don't know what happened, really. I suddenly became this late developer. But no, I love writing. I love writing e-guides. I love writing, you know, from the smallest things of my posts on Facebook through to writing a book of 70,000 words. I love writing. And I would say to anyone that is a coach that's just qualified, you know, think about your book, but think about making it different. You know, do not use dull titles for a book. Yeah.
The secret, the seventh secret of success.
Yeah, dull. I mean, the one of the worst ones I wrote, actually. Well, no, the content's really good, but the title, when I look back, the title, what do I want to say? The title, Seven Secrets of Confidence, actually could have been a little stronger. I mean, my best-selling book by a mile was Get Off Your Ass and Lose Weight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes sense. It really grabs attention. And do you have something that you do before you write your book, like either a ritual or a scheduling or a way that you plan writing? Because you wrote five bloody books. I mean, it's not something to underestimate. So, is there something that you do, like you put some, you sage yourself and you put some incense in the rooms? Dubidu Macumba, or just going straight into
the right? What? Put incense in the room?
Yeah, yeah. You know some people have this weird ritual.
No, I do not. No. Okay. I tell you what I do. I don't sit there cross-legged, you know, burning incense and doing meditation.
No, you don't. No. That's disappointing.
Absolutely, I do none of that. Don't get me wrong, meditation, hypnosis, of course, I get it. It has its place. But I'm not one of those woo-woo type people.
Okay.
I'm not, if you allow me to say this, I'm not really wanky.
Okay.
I'm a very practical person. So what I do, I tell you what I do, I schedule a three-month block, and then I plan each chapter, I give each chapter a heading, and I take my reader on a logical journey. So I think about the logical journey. Then I chop down my chapter headings, and then each day I give myself a goal to write X thousands of words, you know, X thousand of words, and that's how I do it. And I do write as I talk, I have to say. I'm not big on making things more complicated than they need to be. And I think that's why with clients, coaching clients, that's why I've been pretty successful, because they kind of like, they know that I have a brain, I understand theoretical models, but I make it exceptionally practical. And that's what you have to do with a book. A coaching book needs to be really practical.
Do you mean about practical? Can you give an example about what you mean about practical?
Yes, I mean, if I was writing in a book about motivation, self-motivation, for example, what I wouldn't talk about were the theories of motivation. I just wouldn't put that in my book. I wouldn't put the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, for example, in my book. I wouldn't put in Vroom's expectancy theory aligned to motivation in my book. I understand these theories. But what I do is I think of the thing, I make it more practical. I like to give my readers practical things that they can do to enhance their life rather than talk to them about theory. And you mentioned earlier, you know, the results I get with weight loss. Yes, I do get results. I get phenomenal results. I work for most people, not for everyone. I'm not up myself like that. But the reason I do it, I do well, I think, is because I give them practical things to do. Right. And also as a personality, they know there are no excuses. I won't allow them. So they have no choice. They've got to do it.
I was seeing some of your I was watching your show reel before, and I saw the way you were talking to some of the people that you were coaching during also Fat Families, and the way you were talking to them, this is very down to earth. I remember when you were I saw the piece of the show reel when you show them the coffin. And it was like this family, and they said, "This is what's going to happen if you keep going this way." There was there was a coffin. I'm like, that makes things real.
Yes, and I actually determined that scene in the show. You know, in terms of the interventions when I was making the show, it was kind of, Steve, what interventions do you think we need to do with this family, or you know, the different families? And that was one of my ideas. And I said, look, what happens is a doctor will say to you, if you don't lose weight, you're too fat. Well, doctor won't use the fat word. I do. But if you're too fat, you're gonna probably die early. Let's get real here. So I wanted, and it came from the heart, I wanted to show what the doctor was saying, because it's more powerful. The visual image is more powerful than the words spoken. And that's why I did it. And yes, again, how does that align to coaching? About being brave, about being creative, about not worrying if you're going to be disliked for it.
Yes.
As long as you, and this is the key, as long as it comes from a place of care, it's okay.
I like it. I like it. And it must come from that place of, I genuinely do this because I want the best for my client. And
you know what? Straight talking, to the point, no messing, blah, blah, blah. But there is nothing more joyful than seeing a client's end result when you've helped them turn their life around,
yes,
and there are not tears of sadness anymore from the client, but tears of confidence, happiness, joy, all of that emotion. You know, and yes, sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind. The truth hurts sometimes, but as long as you come from a place of care and consideration to help someone live a better life, that's absolutely fine.
That's and I love what you just said. Now, last question on media, and then we move on to another topic. We are going to tap into how really to monetize your talents, which is something new that you're doing right now at the moment. But before we move into that, what I want to ask you is, you keep appearing on media constantly, and do you have a process? Do you have an agent? Do you contact media yourself? Obviously, the more you've been already around media, so it's easier to a point to keep going, to keep appearing on media. But what do you do? Do you contact them personally? Do you have an agent? How do you open doors for yourself?
Well, I mean, I've built it up, so a lot of the journalists know me now, so I get contact directly. I'm very fortunate like that.
Yeah.
But I
it's
also
just because I can. It's like, yeah, I can.
It's not actually as difficult as what people think, mm-hmm. but it's about having the creative content that makes something newsworthy, right. And then so you've got a creative story that is different, and that question, so what, there has to be a number of reasons, so what, but then what you do is you can use Twitter is great to get a story out there,
okay.
and also you know, getting on the phone to the journalists and letting them know you have something they might be interested in, and to be quite honest, if it's of newsworthiness, journalists want to hear about it. The other thing though to do, make sure that you've got a very good content-rich press release. Journalists now are very busy people because they've had cutbacks and different things. So the more work you do for the journalist, i.e. a great press release, good photography, great quotes from people, so you know, from clients or whatever, and if it's of substance, you're on your way to get some media coverage. And what I would say is this as well. Even if you get media coverage in the local press to start with, often the national press, if it's a really interesting story, will actually pick up on it anyway.
Yes.
So start from a small seed and let it grow is my recommendation.
Thank you. Start from a small seed and let it grow. Now, question for you before we move on into monetizing your talent is, in life, I think we all have those turning points. We all have those moments where either we need to face ourselves, we have this conversation with ourselves in front of a mirror or in our head, or we are walking down the street eating an ice cream, or a pigeon like shit on our shoulder. There's all these kind of moments that are turning points for our lives. And these defining moments always often makes our personality, and they shape the way we run our life. So the question is, what turning points did you have in your life that made you the Steve Miller you are now?
There's two.
Right.
And the first one was quite a few years ago now, before everything kind of took off for me. I suffered from panic attacks and anxiety very, very badly. I was on antidepressants, and I was genuinely in a very bad way. I had to leave a job, I had to resign a job.
Okay.
I was in a terrible way. And going through that process to kind of become more mentally okay again really taught me a lot about accepting fallibility, about giving yourself permission to be yourself, to accept yourself, to give yourself an opinion in the world, all of those things. That really did affect me big time. And then the second thing, which happened around 10 years ago, is I was very good friends with a lady who was just a superwoman who was a lot older than me. She's about 18 years older than me. She'd been a glamour model. She'd associated with the craze in London. She had stories. She was a businesswoman. She came from nothing, made a million, lost a million, blah, blah, blah. And she had a heart. She was wonderful. She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And sadly, she died. Sadly, she had a heart attack. And I lost her. And I dedicated all of my books. I've dedicated all my books to her. In each of my books, you will see that June Lind Thompson is the woman I dedicate my books to. And she was always a woman that said to me, that believed in me, darling, she'd say, you've got to go for it. You have something. You've got it, you know, and all this sort of thing. And that was when I lost her, it was a turning point. And I tell you what, I was determined to make it all happen when I lost her. And two weeks after I'd lost June, I got my first media piece in the Daily Mirror, a double page spread. So, you know, I do have a spiritual belief. I won't go into it, but I mean, I do have a spiritual belief, and it was like she was with me on my shoulder. But, you know, I had this double page spread, and it was as though she was saying to me, I told you so. And losing her was a big thing in my life. Huge thing. I still get very, very upset about it. Very upset.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it. And I love asking those questions, because I think that in the personal development industry and in the seminar industry, there is this big thing about your reason why. Like, what is your reason why that makes you wake up in the morning? Why do you do things for? And I think that a lot of people, what they are looking for is for a reason why, which is outside themselves.
And the reason why, and this is so true. And what I say to them is, yes, there are most people will not make it. Most people will not make it. But if you're listening to this interview, this is my message, is, and you want to make it, you must absolutely relish in the kickbacks, relish in things when things don't go right, because it does mean you're still making progress. Yes. And that self, and what I would say to them, you know, you will have self-doubt, but bloody incinerate it. You never, ever stop, ever, you know. And in my journey now, you know, I've got goals for the future, the next 10 years, whatever, and things don't go smoothly. I get kickbacks. I get, you know, two step forwards, one step back again. Mm-hmm. But you have to get up in the morning, think to yourself, I am unique. I am individual. I have a talent. I have an opinion. And I have a degree of creativity that's within me that I'm going to bloody let out. And that is how you live your life if you want success in coaching.
And you said, Steve, now the word talent. Which is a great segue into monetizing your talents. Now, how can people, right now you're helping, from what I understood, you're helping people monetizing your talents. Can you tell me a bit more about that? And also, go for it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what happened was, I now have a very good, solid weight loss business. And that's great. But I've always had a business brain. So about 3 years ago, I met a guy, Andrew, who, just on the off chance, really. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we got together and recognized that there was a gap in the market for helping people to make, coaches in particular, make money online. Because a lot of people have a talent. And the beautiful thing is now, we can sell that talent, knowledge, skill set that we've got through products such as MP3s, yep, such as guides, through e-courses, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So we set up a company, which is still a new company, and people can join the Facebook group, Monetize Your Talent on Facebook. And we're building this company up. It's a little baby company that we're building very nicely. We sell products to help people build their e-course, monetize their talent. There's a product on there people might like, actually, which is called Pimp Up Your PR.
I like it.
It's a product. Yeah, it's a product I put together based on my experience to help people break into, get some media coverage and all that sort of thing, called Pimp Up Your PR on Monetize Your Talent website.
Pimp it up.
Pimp it up. We can all pimp it up.
Pimp
honestly
it up.
God. Yeah, we can all pimp it up. And that's great. So coming back to the question, so we set up this business. It's going great. And And that's all I can say on it, really. That's all I can say on
now,
it.
What I would love to ask you is, now, what can help people monetizing their talent? So what are the things that, if I want to monetize my talents online, say, I come to you and I say, Steve, you know what? I've got this great talent. You know, people call me the Italian stallion of the personal development, right? I got this great talent, but I don't know how to monetize it, and I want to monetize it online. What are the things that you will say, Simone, these are the things that you need to consider right now if you want to monetize it online?
Yes, well, the thing, first of all, we have to niche it tightly.
Right.
So the more niche, you know, never mind niche, you need to super niche. So, for example, if you came to me and you said, you know, I'm this character and my talent is I can help guys chat up women to have dates with them within 5 minutes. That's really, relationship wise, that's great. But you can even super niche it down into the super niche would be understanding, for example, the 10 key influencing strategies to chat a woman up so she falls in love with you very quickly or something like that.
What I'm trying to illustrate
is you super niche it as much as possible. Then what we talk about, and this is the next point people need to think about, is who is the ideal client? The ideal purchaser? Do not try to sell to everybody, because if you do that, your marketing will be all over the place. You want to really be focused. And then this is where most people go wrong, okay? This is the key thing.
Go for it.
Have bucket loads of conviction in your marketing, and let out that personality so people want to know more.
Yes.
Not just about your product, but about you as the pioneer, as the expert, as this guru sort of person in alignment with this product. And, you know, and that's how you do it. And often people say, you know, what's this? You see all of these things on social media about, you know, how to get rich quick and lie on a beach forever and all that sort of thing. Well,
yeah.
There is no magic secret. There isn't a magic way. The way, and this is where me and Andrew, we are no bullshit. We give people the honesty. There is no magic thing you can do on YouTube to monetize your talent. There's no magical thing you can do on Facebook to monetize your talent. You can use those, but
damn
of course,
there's problems. I was still looking for it. Damn it.
Say that again?
I was still looking for it. I wanted my magic pill. But,
yeah, exactly. But people do. And people do want the magic pill. They want the magic pill on how to get clients. They want the magic pill on how to monetize online. They want the magic pill how to get through to the media exposure, all of that sort of thing. Listen, guys, this is what I say. I've got my 3 C's, actually. I was thinking about this. I hope I can remember them, because I came up with this yesterday.
Go for it.
Someone said to me, what do you think? And I said, actually, I think it's 3 C's. You have to have competence, i.e. substance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have credibility, which is your social proof, and you have to have conviction. And when you've got those 3 C's in place, people start wanting you, and people start buying your products. People start being interested in you. You make a name for yourself.
Right. So it's a competence, credibility, and conviction.
Conviction. Yeah.
Confidence, yeah, credibility, conviction. I'm going to take a poster and write them up in my room now. Now, Steve, thank you. Now we are wrapping up. Unfortunately, I'm really sad because it's almost 1 hour and it's gone. And I feel that I need to take you out for dinner. I want to talk more to you because you are freaking awesome. Definitely one of the best interviews on this podcast. This is just going to go out for everyone, not because only is Gen packed, but also was great interviewing you. Now, how can people know more about you? Where can people find you? Someone says, you know what, Steve, you are my new idol. I want your poster in my room. It's like, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm always open to offers, darling. I tell you. Listen, people, I'm kind of splattered everywhere. And online, it's really funny online. You'll read some good news, you'll read some bad news, you'll read this, you'll read that, and whatever. But no, all publicity is reasonably decent publicity. But if people want to talk or they want to ask me questions or whatever, all they need to do is go onto Facebook, search for Monetize Your Talent, and they will see there is a Facebook page where, which you click the like Facebook page thing. But there is also a group, Monetize Your Talent group, which is a private group. But if people want to join the private group where I hang out more, then request to join it and I'll let you in. Okay, so that's how they can get in touch with me.
That's brilliant. And also I'm going to put the links on the website. If you are listening to this on our website or on iTunes on the, or Stitcher, wherever you are listening, they are going to be the links on the page. So make sure you join the group, because I'm going right there right now and I'm joining the group too. I want to be part of the group. Can you let me in, Steve?
Of course I'll let you in.
Oh my God, yeah, that made my day.
Listen. We must, when I'm in London next, we must do dinner. Yeah, I'd like that. That'd be nice.
That would be great. We might go like an interview over dinner. That would be another super cool thing to do, or just dinner. Let's see.
Yes.
How it's going to go.
I think it'd be a great thing to do. We'll do an interview over dinner.
Interview over dinner after a couple of glasses of wine, I think we're going to. There are going to be a lot of more things coming out from you and me. All right, Steve, again, thank you very, very, very much for being a guest on our podcast. It's been a blast. And guys, make sure you connect with Steve. Do you have any final words before we wrap up this interview, Steve?
I think I would leave people with the three C's. I think that's the best thing to do. And I would say, get out of bed in the morning with that total belief. I know it's easy to say it, and everybody does have belief, but get out of that bed with some positive attitude about yourself. You know, work on your conviction. Put it out there. Don't be afraid to have some attitude and opinion, okay? As long as you're being true to yourself. Stick to who you are, but don't be afraid to have conviction. Competence, continue to work on your skill set, nurturing your skill set so that you're bloody good at what you do and people talk about you because you're good at what you do. And then the third thing, credibility, get as much social proof as possible. And those are the three C's I'm going to leave you with. And you know what? From the heart, I wish everybody every success. It can be a tough journey. Most people, I said at the start of this interview, you know, most people won't make it. I stick by that, but you might be one of them that does. Hold on to that belief.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Steve. Guys, thank you very, very much for listening. You are awesome. Remember, this podcast works because of you, and this is why we are running Explode Your Coaching Business. So make sure you subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet, and make sure you leave us a comment and tell us and tell Steve how amazing he is, and also what kind of content would you like to hear from this podcast. Guys, thank you very much from Simone Vincenzi and Explode Your Coaching Business Show. From me and Steve is everything. Have a fantastic day. Ciao.